Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good day, beautiful people. Here you are, and here I am, here for Alive to Love. I'm the No BS Bishop. All lesser values than love slide into the rabbit hole of BS. We're not here to BS you. We're here to call you to the highest value in all of human experience. There is no greater command, no higher command, no wider, no deeper command than the command to love. I'm just going to go right at it today. I have a lot in my heart to share with you because I have come to see and know that if I should do this every day, 24 hours a day, I would never plumb the complete depth of the subject of love. It is the calling of God on my life to sit with you week in and week out and by other means as well, not just this radio broadcast or podcast. I am here to see to it that I can lead somebody into a pilgrimage, an adventure, a mountain climb of the subject of love. And here's one of the reasons why. All right, here we're going to go right to it. Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 34, in answer to a question, a question was asked of him, and Jesus answered in Matthew 22, verse 37. And Jesus was asked, Teacher, what's the great commandment? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. In another place, Jesus told his disciples, a new commandment I give unto you, that you would love one another as I have loved you. And by this, all the world will know that you have believed that I am who I say I am, that you have love for one another. I've often said, if that's true, and it is, it's very true, if that's true, then we should be spending an awful lot more of our energy and time as people of faith plumbing the depths of love. Because if love is the only law, and Jesus said it is, then there must be lengths, heights, depths, and widths that we simply have not yet explored. And as such, I believe we're invited to a pilgrimage and a daring mountain climbing adventure. Timidity, folks, will not serve us well in this matter. To be timid with love is to back away from the serious nature and the magnificent nature of what love is. To be timid about love is to, in some way or another, be afraid to touch the highest peak of God's purposes for our life. To be timid is to somehow or another convince ourselves that this is too much. It's too powerful. It's too outrageous. So let's be rid of any timidity when we approach the subject of love. So people will ask, well, what do we do with this certain people group? Well, what do we do about this cultural controversy? Well, what do we say about this doctrine or that doctrine? And I say, in answer to any of those questions, that we shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. And every answer will hang on that. Every answer that we need, that we're searching for, that we're longing for, will hang on that one commandment, and that is love. Because if love is the only law, and Jesus said it is, then there has to be so much more than we have yet to explore. And I'll get to that from Ephesians chapter 3, the heights, the lengths, the depths, the widths of the love of God. But before I get too much further, I want to lead you in love's creed, just to see to it that we do have our anchor set here today on the No BS Bishop. I wrote this creed a few years ago, and I believe that it is a place to stand, a place to draw nourishment from, and a place that we should continually call our thoughts to these principles, all right? So let me give it to you in total. I'll come back to you and give it to you as a vow, as I would at a marriage altar. I'll give it to you in short bursts so you can repeat it after me. So here it is in total. This is love's creed. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. You see, that's the way I have summarized how to approach the one command Jesus said we need to hold to, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So here it is, love's creed. I'll give it to you in short bursts like a vow. Repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There's love's creed as I've written it. It summarizes for me how to prioritize my thinking and my views of the world. I said recently in another venue, it's been shown that we humans, however much we try to assimilate or manage our thoughts, we're being bombarded with 60,000 thoughts a day in our own little head. No matter who we are, however simple our life may be or how complex our life is, it's estimated that 60,000 thoughts are flying through our mind every day. To that end, I'm convinced that we should find a way to see to it those 60,000 thoughts run into love as they come across my gray matter. But those 60,000 thoughts ought to have to cross the threshold or the doorway or come in the window of love when it comes into my mind. Well, I know that's a tall task. I know that's an enormous task. But once again, I read the words of Jesus when he says that this is where all of the commandments, this is where all the law and the commandments hang. It's on love, loving God and loving my neighbor as myself. This, if that is where everything is hanging, that's, you know, the love is the tree and everything that can feed the world is hanging on that one tree. And, you know, then the fruit of that tree is what? Love. So if I'm to manage my 60,000 thoughts a day, if I'm to manage them well, and if I'm to manage them toward obedience to the commandments and the law, then there must be in my mind a commitment to love's creed. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for anything less than love. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. I'm going to run my 60,000 thoughts through that gate. I'm going to run my 60,000 thoughts through that filter, through the filter and the standing and the compression of love, so that I'm going forward in my life in a way that is managed and held by and enforced by. The enforcement, the police of my mind is love. So in Ephesians 3:18, it says that you would know the love of God and that you would, with all of the saints, know the heights, the depths, the lengths, the widths of the love of God. That we would know that. Listen, Ephesians 3 is, I call it my scripture. That's mine. I'll loan it to you. But I have admired and adored Ephesians 3 my whole life. My whole faith life, I should say. Because what I find in that is that the power of an exploration is being put before us there. It's being put in a way that calls us to a life of a transcendent exploration, that we wouldn't be trapped in any kind of a little corner of exploration, but that we have this sense that it's going to take all of our life and all of our eternity to go forward in this exploration of love, that we would know with all of the saints what is the height, the depth, the width, the breadth of the love of God, to know that, and that we would be filled to all the fullness with the presence of God in our life. So it's to me that, as I say here regularly, it's that pilgrimage that we should sustain in our life. I'm a runner. I'm a casual runner. I'm not a professional runner by any means. But I got to tell you that I know even in my casual running, I've got to have some sense that this purpose that I have in running has to be sustained through time and through effort. I've got to make a priority to get outside and go run or pull up. I've got a little trampoline in the wintertime that I run on, or I've got to go to a gym or a health club and see to it that I can find myself a place to just run in place. The point I'm making here is that I can't just once a year decide to run. This has to be a weekly regimen. Now, if I decide to run a marathon, and I really want to run a marathon in my life at least once, I know that I can't just tomorrow morning get up and go run a marathon. I'm going to need some sort of schedule and pilgrimage to do it. That's my body's going to need the training to get there. I'm saying this same principle, the same discipline about love, that our mind and our soul and our body needs a discipline toward this journey of love. So to that end, I'm here every week, and I ask you to join me in my pastor's study. Pull up a chair, get comfortable, get a cup of coffee, and let me counsel you toward love, loving yourself, loving God, loving your neighbor as yourself, and sustaining a priority and a purpose that is connected to love. So let me go to Ephesians 3 for a minute here and tell you the prayer of Paul when he said, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name, and I pray that out of his riches, his glorious riches, he would strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established," rooted and grounded, another version says, "established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how high the height, how long the length, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Now, the prayer that Paul prays there, I've often said this is the Grand Canyon, really, of Paul's writing. It's not the Grand Canyon of the New Testament, because Jesus is that Grand Canyon. And by the way, I don't interpret Jesus through Paul. I interpret Paul through Jesus. Jesus is my perfect theology. Jesus is the means by which I sustain a vision for what Paul is trying to say. But I got to say, though, here in Ephesians 3, that Paul really, really paints this glorious scriptural pattern when he says, "I pray that you being rooted and established in love." This is the calling on my life, to root myself, to get nourishment from love, to sustain my thinking in love, to know that, as my love creed says, that I'm alive with plans, dreams, designs that are locked into anything and everything that is love. So that out of the nourishment, out of how I nourish my thoughts, remember, 60,000 thoughts a day, how am I nourishing those thoughts? Am I nourishing it with cynicism? Am I nourishing those thoughts with anger? Am I nourishing it with frustration, unforgiveness? You name it. Name all the other criteria by which we seem to nourish our thoughts that really create such an anemic way of life. But am I nourishing how I think? When I watch that news story, am I nourishing my thoughts about what I just heard in love? Or am I nourishing it on anger and rage and me against the world or the world against me? All of those things really determine then how I'm going to live this life. But if I'm alive to love, and I am rooted and established in love, well, then Paul says in his prayer, I'll have power with all of God's people to grasp how high, how wide, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love. which is surpassing knowledge, so that I would be filled with all the measure of the fullness of God. Do you see that juxtaposition that Paul put there? That you would know this love that surpasses knowledge. The seeming contradiction there is explained this way, that I would know by experience, that I would taste it, that I would hold it in my hands and hold it in my meditations and thoughts. Because this is a principle that cannot just be academically measured. The principle of love is never to be measured by academia. The principle of love is to surpass academia, and it is to be experienced in our life. That we would be filled, as Paul said, that we'd be filled with all the measure of the fullness of God. So here I am one more time, here about halfway through this particular broadcast. My purpose is simple. It is to inspire you, to inspire myself, to reach for this high principle, this high pinnacle, this magnificent journey of the love of God, to never give up, no matter what comes our way, to never give up, to find life defined by love, not defined by disappointments or hurts or miseries or betrayals. And by the way, those things will come to you. They've come to me. I've lived through miseries. I've lived through betrayals. I've lived through the daunting specter of my own failure or the failures of others. But when it's all gathered up into my hands, I must again come back to where all the law and the prophets hang. I have got to come back wherever my hurt or pain leads me. I've got to come back and say, what is the high call of my life? What is the highest purpose of who I am? Loving God, loving my neighbor. To love my God with everything I've got, to love my neighbor as I am loving myself, and to bring my body, my soul, my mind, my 60,000 thoughts a day to the love of God, to take a bath, if you will, in the love of God whenever I've been soiled by life's miseries, by life's triumphs and triumphs. Life will have a way, right, of finding you at your worst. But when that happens, here we are. Here we are, wobbling and toddling along, just living our life, managing those 60,000 thoughts. And what are we going to do when life just hits us between the eyes with that unexpected blow? Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm alive to love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain, because I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs that are locked into anything and everything that is love. That's how I believe I can be an answer to Paul's prayer there in Ephesians 3, that I be rooted and grounded, established in love, getting my nourishment from the soil of love that I'm standing on. I'm not standing anywhere else for any length of time at all. You know, I want to always be careful to say that I don't expect anybody on any given day to be perfect on this. I'm certainly not. I'm not a perfection. I'm not the perfection of love. My point in getting this message of love out isn't to create some kind of image of me that I'm perfect at it. I want you to hear and see that I am journeying for it. I'm reaching for it. I'm running toward it. And yeah, I will stumble and fall here and there. And more often than I care to admit, I'm going to stumble and fall. But those stumbles and falls are not going to be the definition of me. I want those stumbles and falls to ultimately be defined by how I love forward from the stumble. How I love forward in my stumbles and falls. I know that, you know, many of you have heard that we're not on the planet for an easy ride. Yeah, I know you've heard that life is not a Sunday school picnic. I know you've heard that, but let me just underscore that and tell you, life is difficult. In the little book The Road Less Traveled by M. Scott Peck, it starts with those words: life is difficult. Life is a challenge. It's a baseball bat to the head some days. Life is that. And all of philosophy and religion is about defining those difficulties, defining them in a way that makes some kind of existential sense, that we're just not around here commiserating about how painful life is, but we're finding a way to define that pain in a way that ultimately makes sense. Here, let me give you a personal example just today. So I get up this morning and you know, like many of you, I've got a sweet little dog, and my sweet little dog who had a nervous kind of life last night. You know, she didn't get all of her business done outside, and my nervous little dog left a gift for me at the front door while I was headed out the front door to take care of something, and I stepped in her business. Now, I'm not going to define that any more than just that. I stepped in my dog's business. Well, so now I got to clean up the business, and I've got to look at my dog, who is looking at me, and she feels bad. I know she did. She looked at me like, "I'm sorry, boss. I'm sorry. I had a lapse of judgment there." So I take care of the business, and then after I take care of the business, on my way here to record this broadcast, before I leave, I've got to haul my trash to the curb, because today is trash day. Now, let me tell you why I'm giving you that right now. See, between all of the cleaning up the business or hauling your trash out, between there is life as we were trying to live it optimally. So, but in the meantime, I'm cleaning up business. In the meantime, I'm hauling the trash to the curb. In the meantime, I'm just brushing my teeth. In the meantime, I'm simply doing everyday chores, mowing the yard, edging my yard. I'm in the meantime, I'm not always some kind of spectacular superhero who's out there to love all of creation and all of God through some kind of miraculous efforts. No, in the meantime, I'm cleaning up business and hauling the trash. See, an awful lot of life is lived that way, isn't it? Lived in the meantime, lived in the ways for finding our way through this world while we're taking out the trash, while we're taking care of cleaning up the business. I hope you hear what I'm saying. I know that most of life is mundane. Most of life is a struggle. Most of life is, as M. Scott Peck said, life is difficult. Life is a challenge. Life is usually the ordinary stuff. And in the ordinary stuff, we're tempted to think, my life doesn't mean anything. But I've got good news for you today. No matter what happens, no matter how much the ordinary stuff seems to take up all of your life, remember, may you be rooted and grounded, established in love. That love would be your creed, that love would be your purpose for being alive on this planet, that love would be your aim when you finish hauling the trash to the curb, and maybe the garbage truck shows up about the time you finish getting it there, and you wave at the trash man and you give him a thumbs up. If it's nothing but that simplicity, make it love. Love for that human being driving that truck. Love for that human being who's doing some, oh my goodness, tough work, right? It's tough and smelly work. Knowing that this was a person whose purpose in life is often consumed by this daily, daily tough chore. They need our love. Whoever it is, whoever they are, and whatever the task is, or whatever their lifestyle, whatever it is that we see that we're not sure we like. My only commandment in managing life in that manner is to love my neighbor as myself. Well, those are my ramblings. This is my counsel from the pastor's office today. I hope you gain something, and I hope you'll go through this day rooted, grounded, and established in love while you're cleaning up the business, right? No small task right there. And in order to get there, I tell you to do two things as a minor exercise, but it's a reminder of how to keep your life in love. And the first one is breathe well. So on the count of three, I want you to breathe deep. Get your feet flat on the floor, remove distractions, and breathe as deep as you can and hold it for just a few seconds. One, two, 3, breathe in, hold it, and exhale. Slow life down. Slow yourself down. Slow your temptation to be angry down, and determined to be staying in the rooted, established place of love. The second thing I always want you to do here is to find the courage to do something that can feel so weird and awkward. I know it is. But to find the way and the courage to look at somebody and say, I love you. Don't rush through those words. Don't say them like they don't mean anything. Say them like everything in your life matters. Right now, when I say to somebody, I love you, get eye contact. Hold that eye contact for those three magical words, those three most charmed words in the human language. I love you. Because when you do that, you never know what gets sparked in the soul of that human being. Jesus said it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. I want to ask you, how do you love yourself? And if you love yourself well, then love your neighbor well. But if you're not loving yourself well, let's get that healed and corrected. Get yourself rooted, grounded in love so that your neighbor can be the recipient of the love that is hanging from the branches of your tree. That your love is this magnificent feast when they see you, when they hear from you, when they know you're living this life, this one and only life, based on being alive to love. I sure appreciate you giving me a half an hour of your time. I sure appreciate you letting me be a counsel to you today to offer you the pastoral wisdom of 50 years in pastoring churches. I got to tell you, I am on the receiving end of so many good things through these 50 years, and I would hate to think that I would take those good things to the grave and never be able to share them all in some way or another with the people who trust me for that counsel and wisdom. So thank you for being here today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm alive to love. I'm the No BS Bishop. I don't think that any other value than love is the value that we should reach for. I'm reaching for love. I'm staying standing and rooted and grounded in love, and I'm inviting you to join me. Now go out there and do something beautiful, because you know it, baby. Ugly has been done to death. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.